Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. When John Flansburgh and John Linnell formed the duo They Might Be Giants 25 years ago, the Berlin Wall was still standing. Ronald Reagan was president, and they were both into underground cartoons and punk bands. Well, the world is quite different today, and the Johns now have a Grammy and are into podcasting. But they've kept the nerdy charm and the inventive pop songs going. They Might Be Giants have just released their 12th album, The Else, and they're going to start us off with a live performance here in our studio. The song is called Take Out the Trash. Here live on Soundcheck are They Might Be Giants.
Go on, take out the trash, and once you get them out, tell them not to come back again. Put that cat in the bin. After what he said, after everything he did, you had him figured out a while ago. And I know it's not exactly breaking news, but it's all been a little like a trial for you. And a bunch more talking won't make him true. Oh, come on, go. Why not take out the trash? And once you get him out, go get it, could have gone. Go, damn it! Hey, hey, you, you. Hey, hey, you, you. Why, when it's plain that he's just making it up, and he still got you coming back for more? Why, when it's so clear that he's just breaking it? Tell me what bad deal's gonna close that door. Oh, come on, go. Why not take out the trash? And once you get him out, tell him not to come back again. Go, put that cat in the bin. After what he said, after everything he did.
WNYC.
The always topical They Might Be Giants. The song is called Take Out the Trash. And if you think it's a song about taking out the trash, you weren't paying attention. The new album is called The Else. And we heard John Flansburgh playing guitar, John Linnell playing the accordion, the rest of They Might Be Giants, Marty Beller behind the drums, Dan Miller playing guitar, Danny Weinkopf
Marty
playing
Beller.
The bass.
Danny Weinkopf on the fuzz bass.
Now, John Flansburgh,
John.
You, When you Schaefer. Inserted "Hey Hey You You" into the middle of
we
that
song, we got so many ideas from that last half hour of radio. We got to go back. We got to re-record the album now. We're gonna actually. It only came out a couple of days ago, but we're withdrawing the whole thing. We're taking it off the market. We're going back. We're gonna insert some more popular ideas. I think we could make a much more successful record now that we are a sort of a have the information of how free we can be with a. Ripping other people off.
So when you did that, when you interpolated "Hey Hey You You" into that song, were you ripping off Avril or the Rubinoos or Rolling Stones? Who were you going for there?
I think I was ripping off the REM ripoff of the Rolling Stones on the album Green. The song "Radio Song" is that the one?
Yeah.
I think. But that was they were not aware of the Rolling Stones because they were unconscious when they wrote the song.
How would they have had access to
an
obscure band
exactly.
like the Rolling Stones?
How can you write a song when you're asleep?
Now, humor has been, John Linnell, an important part of the "They Might Be Giants" equation for these 25 years. Why is that? I mean, seriously, why is that so important? Because, you know, humor in music can be a kind of a dicey thing.
Well, I think that we decided early on that we were not going to deliberately censor ourselves just to get people to take us more seriously, you know? And I think it was at a time when there were a lot of bands who were wearing a lot of black eye makeup, and mm-hmm. it was a very dark time for fashion in bands. So it was probably partly a reaction to that, that we just thought, like, we don't want to bum people out more than they're already bummed out, as much as we would have had that impulse anyway.
So did you guys have the impulse to wear the black eyeliner? And it's just
that's what I'm saying.
Since you both wore glasses, no one knew the difference anyway.
Well, we had to remove the makeup to form this band. That was the challenge.
We needed a lot of nail polish remover to start band. Yeah. But no, actually, you know, it's all relative because I think we think of ourselves as kind of typical New Yorkers in that we kind of, you know, float through life, you know, wearing a certain amount of black. But as soon as we started touring nationally, we were made very aware of how much black we wore. I realize I'm wearing entirely black clothes today, actually. you know, as a friend of mine said, you know, if you don't like the uniform, get out of New York.
So why "The Else" for the title of the new record?
It's sort of a different way of saying "the other," which and it's hard to say exactly what that would mean. But
I think that generally if the title of this song or the album or the words in this song don't mean something super specific, it's intentional. In other words, there's usually not an explanation behind something if it's not completely obvious up front. So that's, I think, "The Else" falls into that category. It's what you see is what you get. It's, you know, it's up for you to interpret, I think.
All right.
And in some ways, it kind of harkens back to the name of the band, and this shows you how disconnected we are with the way people actually understand us. We thought of "They Might Be Giants" as a very outward-looking, very paranoid name for a band, when, of course, most people think of it as this kind of jaunty, upbeat, kind of optimistic, self-referential thing. We thought it was like, there's a guy outside the window. Who could that be? And that was really what the suggestion of "The Else" or anything else. I think we're trying to kind of keep it abstract. We don't want to become just like a personality parade. You know, like, there's a part of being in a band that's where the faces of the band are pushed very far forward, and the personalities of the band are pushed very far forward, and I think we're, in some ways, we want to push the music as far forward as possible and kind of keep ourselves in the background.
We're speaking with John Flansburgh and John Linnell, the
John and John
on Soundcheck, and "They Might Be Giants." Now, the last time you guys were here, it was the three Johns and two Dans, but now you've got two Johns, two Dans, and a Marty in the band. But the animal imagery remains another constant in "They Might Be Giants."
Oh yeah,
over
you'll
the
have
years.
To remind me. What are the animals that?
How about in just one song, bees, birds, and moths, or a bird and a moth.
That's right. I guess we invoked a cat in this last song. So
yeah,
that's right. Let's hear a little bit of this song. This is actually from the album "The Else." This is called "Bee of the Bird of the Moth."
The bee of the bird of the moth. You can't walk, you can't ramble, 'cause you're gonna have to scramble from the bee of the bird of the moth. Catbug is a cat, but he's got
of the Bird of the Moth is from the new album The Else by the band They Might Be Giants, who tomorrow begin a run of 4 Wednesdays at the Bowery Ballroom and who are playing live for us here in our Soundcheck studio today.
The show tomorrow is sold out, I should say. So if people are starting making plans, they should stop.
They should plan for the next Wednesday.
Yes, exactly.
That's what you meant to
say. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Now, you know, speaking of the animal imagery, and John Flansburgh, going back to what you said about the name of the band, how you may have meant one kind of mood and people have taken it another way, the album cover art is all these pictures of animal masks. Presumably the cover is the two of you wearing what look like penguin masks.
You would think that, but it's actually not us.
It's
deliberately misleading, I think. And Marcel Zama, the artist who created the costumes, wanted to have two characters on the front. That was just his idea. But it was friends of ours who are in wearing those costumes. And
if Marcel was a stranger, we probably would have asked him not to do that. But since it was his intention and he was into it, we had to let him go for it.
But this, again, you know, is something I look at and I'm pretty creeped out by this.
It's creepy.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. You did mean that. Okay,
oh,
good.
Marcel right. meant that, apparently. Yeah.
But we're not against the creepy, you know, like we do in our adult work, you know, there's a lot of sort of...
Your adult work?
In our adult work. Well, we do kids stuff too.
We're doing it right now.
Yeah. This is our adult work.
This is our adult work here.
I don't know. There's a lot of sort of paradoxes and you know sort of contradictory things going on in what we do. So I don't know. We're probably the worst people to talk to about it.
The new album was produced by the Dust Brothers. That seemed like it came out of left field.
Yeah, the idea that we could afford to work with the Dust Brothers was a shock to us.
Now, these guys have produced Beck. They produced the Beastie Boys.
They've produced the Rolling Stones. They've produced Hanson. They have hit records. They have platinum records, multi-platinum records. They're big time. They live in L.A. They have Blackberries. They have computers in front of them at all times.
And so what was the attraction?
They own multiple studios. I think we've worked with a lot of different producers in the past who've been, who basically have had the ability to get a better acoustic sound out of the band that we have. But we've never really had the ability to collaborate with producers who worked electronically. And John and I always sort of start songs with these sort of MIDI-based or sample-based demos that are often very exciting, but they're not very finished. And the finishing process often seems to be about just substituting organic sounds for the electronic stuff, when in fact we have an interest in the electronic stuff and we kind of wanted to preserve it. Mm. And the Dust Brothers' entire setup is sample-based. You know, they're very into this very 21st century way of making kind of collage music. So there was a couple of different levels of collaboration that we were interested in working with them on. And you know, basically each song that we did with them is kind of a different version of that.
All right. So the Dust Brothers involved in the production of the new record, mm-hmm. The Else, by They Might Be Giants. John Linnell, you guys are going to do a song called Mesopotamians next. So we're looking back towards the opposite end of the technology spectrum here.
Well, sort of. You'll get the idea from it. It invokes famous... Near Eastern kings of the ancient time, but it's really kind of a more contemporary idea. So it's kind of meant to combine that with a sort of, in a way, like the feeling that anybody has who's sort of feels unrecognized or
5,000 years dead, or
one of those two things. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's hear another live performance. Mesopotamians is the name of the song. It appears on the new record by They Might Be Giants, the record called The Else. But we're going to hear a live performance here in our Soundcheck studio.
We've been driving around from one end of this town to the other and back. But no one's ever seen us,
no one's ever seen us
driving our Econoline van. And no one's ever heard of our band. We're the Mesopotamians, Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurbanipal, and Gilgamesh. And they wouldn't understand a word we say, so we'll scratch. it all down into the clay. Half believing there will sometime come a day someone gives a damn. Maybe when the concrete has crumbled to sand, where the Mesopotamians Sargon, Hammurabi, El-Shaban, Apal, and Gilgamesh. The Mesopotamish sun is beating down, making cracks in the ground, but there's nowhere else to stand. In Mesopotamia, the kingdom where we secretly reign,
no one's ever heard of our
the land where we invisibly rule as the Mesopotamians. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurban, Apal, and Gilgamesh. This is my last stick of gum. I'm gonna cut it up so everybody else gets some, except for Ashurban, Apal, who says my haircut makes me look like a Mohenjo-Darin. Hey, Ashurban, Apal, I'm a Mesopotamian. Sargon, Hammurabi, Ashurban, Apal, and Gilgamesh. We're the Mesopotamians. About and Gilgamesh. Hey man, I thought that you were dead. I thought you crashed your car. No man, I've been right here this whole time playing bass guitar for the Mesopotamians.
We're the Mesopotamians.
They Might Be Giants, live in our soundcheck studio with Mesopotamians. I'm reminded of the B-52's Mesopotamia, so let the suing and counter-suing begin.
Let the suing commence.
John Linnell and John Flansburgh and the rest of They Might Be Giants, Marty Beller playing the drums, Dan Miller on guitar, Danny Weinkauf playing the bass. Flansburgh, you mentioned before your adult work, but you did you did a very successful detour into kiddie music.
Of times. we've done a bunch of stuff for kids. We're just finishing up this DVD right now called Here Come the 1-2-3s, and then we're embarking on this enormous, like, half year long tour of the United States. It's probably end up being 70 cities of touring. So we've got an adult portion of touring ahead of us. But yeah, we've done a bunch of kids stuff, and It's been a really interesting – it's speaking of two things going on at the same time. It's really interesting – just speaking for myself, it's really interesting writing songs for kids. It's really strange performing for kids. And it seems like that's kind of an unacceptable posture to have in the culture. You know, people really want you to be some form of a children's entertainer if you're going to venture into the world of kids stuff. And, you know, I think we respectfully want to – you know, kind of keep it on the sort of Dr. Seuss tip.
That's right. Yeah. He's our model in a way. I mean, and I completely understand that feeling like there is something a little bit
stingy.
It seems stingy to make money off kids and then refuse to go out and
behave like one.
And behave like a kid in front of kids. But,
but the money is so delicious.
It's a really hard job. I mean, it makes the adult rock show seem like complete gravy.
Hmm.
But well, we have learned that public school teachers are seriously underpaid. That's been the biggest lesson of doing kids' shows.
Well, it certainly seems to have recharged the batteries of this band. Here you are 25 years on, and the new album called The Else, the 12th by They Might Be Giants. Tomorrow's gig is sold out at the Bowery Ballroom, but never fear, there are three more Wednesdays to come, as They Might Be Giants plays for kids and grown-ups of all ages at the Bowery Ballroom. And for us here today in our soundcheck studio, John and the rest of the gang, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thanks for having us.
It's been really exciting.
And that'll do it for Soundcheck today. Tomorrow, West Side Story. It turns 50 this year, and the musical is being staged in some unlikely places, including Sing Sing Prison, and as part of an urban youth initiative from the Seattle Police. We'll find out how Leonard Bernstein's score is finding new and unexpected relevance. Also tomorrow, the Parker Quartet, a hot property among today's string quartets. They're just as happy playing in dive bars as they are in plush concert halls, and maybe just as happy even playing live in our radio studio. All of that is tomorrow on Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Edward Haber. The program is produced by Brian Wise, Joel Meyer, and Allison Lichter. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We had help today from Chris Lamb and Matt Schultes. I'm John Schaefer. A little bit more in the background from the new record by They Might Be Giants to take us out. Join us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck.